The following has been paid for by the BTL.
They said they were going to do this without me. They said they were going to start a new war. You want to go to war? I'll take you to fucking war. Yo. Sean, you my bitch, yo. Duck down. I got a joke to tell about these war clowns. Coney ain't a co-host, you fucking nuts. Sean must be in a comatose, wake him up. Mike Pignatino, half Italian Geno's pizza will be hiring when they firing you from Home Depot. My foster children like the people, no equal to L, vintage update. You Coney come late. Lee, Mike asleep at the board, fuck the whole take. Season 3 delay, I keep the war name. Standing behind the fucking curtain with the double barrel rehearsing. Ready for war now for certain. Straight shooting a worker letter to my lawyer. Thought there'd be a new war and I would just ignore ya. But hecky nah, Mike, you ain't no techie bra, Ike. You ain't no co-hosting, you respect me, dog. And Sean, you got nerve blaming me for the delay of the season premiere. 50% right here. Break the law like Raw superstars at Impact tapings. Kick it with Dave Meltzer while Ike and Caitlin baking Christmas cookies. He's more bitch than Snooki. I'm on the ledge of sanity and that means don't push me, because I made Sean. If you wanna get it on, I don't mind breaking him like Dawn. Word is gone, check it out. Yo, they just some rookies. Now the war is one man, the one it should be. And this is Veterans Day, I got something else to say. Yo, breaking the law, you ready for war?
We're ready!
Breaking the law, you ready for war?
We're ready!
Let's go to war then.
Pyro! Explosion! Has this show sucked without Luke Force or what? It is the season premiere of Wrestling Audio Revolution, ladies and gentlemen. I do appreciate you sitting through the undercard. I do appreciate you sitting through Baron Miguel Scicluna and Barry Horowitz and Barry O come out here and try to do my job. But I am not alone, and as I promised you, I am not in that rat hole in Parkdale. Okay? Because Parkdale can't even get a Starbucks, for God's sakes. How the fuck is it gonna get the Grime Minister? I am a man of class, I am a man of dignity, and without any further ado, I would like to introduce the only men that have stood by me over the last 6 months, while all the rest of you ungrateful bastards out there have been turning your backs left and right. I am surrounded by my family, I am surrounded by men that have stood by me through thick and thin. Okay, so right now, I'd like to introduce you very much. Can I get a big round of applause for BTL Breaking the Law in the studio? Woo! And we are at the corner of Dundas and Young, where Wrestling Audio was created. Now, let's go around the room right now. We're going to start on the far side. Justin, we got my man Justin in here, and I want to say something personally to Justin before we go any further. Because one of the last times I saw Justin, we were up in my apartment in Parkdale. Yes, in my own rat hole, my own living hell in Parkdale, Ontario. And you know what? We were having a good time. We were playing some Fire Pro Wrestling. And we were having a good time. And you know what? We got into a heated debate. And I lost my temper with Justin. And Justin, I just want to say I'm sorry from the bottom of my heart for that day. And I blame Parkdale.
Oh, of course.
Justin, welcome to the show. Say hello
to
these great people.
Thank you, sir. Hello, Internet. Hello, Facebook. Hello, everybody out there. No problem for the fight, you know. It's Parkdale. What are you going to do?
Why can't Sean understand that? Like for him, it's this great personal thing. It's like men get in arguments. Men make videos where they spit on the logo of something that man and another man created. Things like that happen in the real world. So I appreciate you being a man, Justin.
Thank you, sir.
Because I have not always been surrounded by those kind of people. So I would also like to go to the far end. A man that oftentimes can be on the receiving end of a lot of the ribs. He's kind of a little bit of a Virgil, you could say. But I would like to introduce a good friend of mine and a man that I think is fed up. So Dev, my good friend, an international wrestling historian, an indie wrestling connoisseur. Dev, welcome to Wrestling Audio Revolution.
Thanks, Luke. Nice to be here.
Oh, great. And do you like the studio?
Oh, I love this dude, man.
You have no idea. Look, I got my own couch here. I used to be crammed in like a fucking sardine in Parkdale. It was god-awful. Anyway.
I can only imagine, man. I've seen Parkdale. I believe every word of it.
Yeah, and as I said, I mean, they can't even get a Starbucks because why would they? I mean, no, like, it's such a goddamn fucking rat hole scumbag part of town.
And that's saying the good things about Parkdale.
That's being nice, exactly. That's some of the compliments you could give it. And, you know, if anyone out there is interested in a $5 blowjob, Parkdale is your place by a toothless fucking whore. Let's go to the next couch here. We each got our own couch.
God. I know, eh? How great
damn
is that?
Damn it! Couches! God damn it! We not each got our own couch. I would like to,
introduce,
on the far side, a man that has not smoked marijuana very much recently, but did about a half hour ago.
Yes.
My friend Glenn, you were there for the argument. Tell me your opinion, your recollections of that day.
He was the referee.
This is like therapy. We're getting this out. What were your recollections of that day with me and Justin?
Yes, and I have to say, I really enjoyed watching you two argue, because it was just like TV.
Okay, so you're the one that kind of started up that day, then, is what I got to remember.
Yeah.
We were high as fuck.
Oh, yeah, fuck, man. Yeah. We smoked a lot of pot that day.
Exactly.
So you weren't lazy?
Last but definitely not least, we are going to introduce you to the man that is a little bit of a loose cannon, a little bit of a live wire, and I think you're going to really enjoy listening to him speak most of the time. Give it up to my man, Ryan, a.k.a. all of you know him better as the sweet and tender Radar. Radar, welcome to Wrestling Audio Revolution.
Well, it is an honor. It is a privilege.
Oh, you got some heat there beside you.
You got heat everywhere he goes.
I have heat everywhere I go.
Yeah, exactly. Shit like that happens.
Obama's got a better popular rating than I do.
Hitler. Hitler has a better rating than you.
Well, that is true, actually.
Yeah. But we're going to talk about some of the good things that are happening in wrestling right now. You know,
are there good things in wrestling?
Well, there's always some.
So we're not talking about TNA then, obviously.
Well,
or the Slammies.
Who talks about TNA anymore? Honestly,
some of us do.
Well, Glenn goes to the shop. Oh, it's TNA. Then.
The local rats in Orlando don't even talk about TNA anymore. You know what I mean?
Well, there are a few things good about TNA.
Okay.
A few.
Let's start
with
that. I'm sure we can get that done pretty fast. Go ahead.
Eric Young. Eric Young is a good thing for TNA.
Eric Young?
Eric Young?
That big bearded lumberjack motherfucker? What are you talking about?
He is doing well. He's popular. He is.
Grizzly Redwood ripoff.
Yeah, exactly. Like
so it works.
Is he a man, a real man's man?
Who, is Eric Young a real man's man? What?
Answer the question. Is he a real man's man?
Sure, why not? So, again.
Way to be decisive, Dev. Way to be decisive.
So then, a little insight into the mind of Dev.
Okay, what is a real man to man?
Well, Steven Regal.
Yeah. If you were a really wrestling historian, you would have realized in 1998.
I know about Steven Regal.
That's what I'm talking
about.
That
was a long time.
He's
and
a
it
man.
Lasted. And how long did that last? How
Such
long?
A man.
That lasted literally
He's
most
a
week.
I'm just saying, it's pretty much the same thing with Eric Young.
But isn't he doing a lot better with it, though?
Okay, here's my thing with Eric Young, Dev. And you're right, Eric Young as a wrestler, great. Yeah. Eric Young as a worker for TNA, being loyal to them when they're just a bunch of scumbag fucking pissants.
From the
90s. Yes, he's great. Here's the problem with Eric Young and why he won't get over in TNA. Bring him to the Fed, new coat of paint, whatever. That's a whole new world, right? That's like a whole new audience. But for right now in TNA, the man changes his gimmick every week.
True.
But there has to be a reason for that, though.
He's Super Eric one week, then he's tough-ass Eric Young Austin, wearing a fucking leather jacket, shaved head, and no comedy anymore, and he's running with the goddamn wolf pack, and then...
That lesson.
Then before you know it, they're gone, and he's all of a sudden this strange lumberjack comedy retard.
That has about three different kind of weens on.
And again, I love Eric Young, and you know what? With that said, every time he's on camera, he's entertaining as hell.
Yeah, I agree.
But that's he'll never be a top star because they can't decide what the fuck they're doing with him.
Probably true, but he's going with the punches. That's the best
thing
about
him. He's great. Exactly. He's like great. I'm saying, he's fine. He's great.
It's not he. That is the problem. It's
no,
TNA. That's
TNA.
The problem.
And that's like many things.
And the problem with TNA is that, again, they're pushing the old guys and not the young guys.
Right.
Which doesn't make a lick of sense.
No, it doesn't. Kurt Angle retired 5 years ago.
No, that's scary, right?
Yeah, it is.
Well, how many times have they pulled the plug on the young movement in TNA?
Oh, jeez.
You know, a
who
trillion.
Knows how many times?
A trillion. And they'll do it again.
More times than Ric Flair's been married, that's for sure.
If Hogan could have worked right now, if Hogan wasn't literally deteriorating physically, he would be world champion right now.
Yep.
For God knows what reason, though.
Oh, I'm not saying you're even arguing that. I know.
No, because Sting versus Hogan was a great match.
But if both guys were in okay physical shape, they would have been doing that for the world title.
They would have.
I'm actually shocked even in the way they were that it wasn't for the world title. Like, you know, they're both 106.
Yeah. Combined.
But you know
what? No, on their own.
Well, but we can't be the only
combined
ones.
Combined, they're the age of history.
Right, and I mean, they're doing the thing with Robert Rood right now. And here's my statement on Robert Rood.
They ruined that.
Well, they Robert that. Rood is great, yeah. But he's not what no, people not were saying. No, he's not. No. And if you could take Robert Rood's work rate and put that on James Storms' character and verbal skills, you would have had a main event guy that could have gone to the Fed and been a main event guy.
The best we got are mid-carders.
Right.
Yeah, trying to do their best to, excel to the
I'm a Canadian boy through and through. But the real story to me this year in 2012, and we're going to talk about that on the Christmas show a bit. We're going to get into some of the top stories from 2011, not 2012, that's coming.
Damn.
But some of my memories from 2011, many people will say the big push of Robert Rood. To me, that wasn't like the big story. It was the big push of James Storm. Because they really showed that he was like a main event fucking... He was the total package, except this past Sunday at the pay-per-view. So he's not the total package because he got blown up. Kurt Angle tried to carry him to a good match. It wasn't a good match. Having a bad match with Kurt Angle, or not very good match with Kurt Angle, that's hard to do.
That even now.
So that upset me because I was 100% behind the James Storm push. I'm like, this guy's fucking great.
TNA ruined that when they had Angle cleanly pin Rude 2 months ago.
Well, that
what was the point of that. What was the point of building Robert Roode up and then having him job to Kurt Angle?
Of course. And if they had pulled the, actually pulled the trigger on Robert Roode at that time and gone through with the world title reign when they were supposed to,
yeah, that might have worked.
It would have been a totally different thing. But they didn't. They decided not to. And if you remember, Hogan the week before was buried him publicly, and that was kind of what started the whole. Well, we're not going to put the belt on him now.
Too many cooks in the pot, man.
And then they didn't put the belt on him. They didn't put the belt on him at the pay per view. Remember? And then there was all the unhappiness backstage about what that was bullshit, Is everything okay? Is everything okay, Glenn, with this mic? Yeah,
cool. Yeah, man. All right. That's totally good.
We're good? Okay, yeah. Cool. Glenn, the new producer, we don't need Piggy anymore, thank God. And Glenny, I really do appreciate it, and I'm sounding real crisp right now.
Yes, you completely are.
None of that muffled shit Mike used to give me.
No, I know, Nah, yeah, got the good shit, man.
Yeah. What'd you think of that reality check shit he did?
Oh, fuck, man. You know what? At that time, I was partly watching TNA.
I was pretty...
So...
on your phone, okay.
Yeah.
I was pretty impressed with it myself. I actually thought Mike did a lot better job than I really thought he was capable of. But at the same time, it's Mike.
Yeah, I know.
So anyways, big news coming out of the BTL camp, and obviously the big merger between myself and now being sponsored by Breaking the Law. What does Breaking the Law mean? Well, Breaking the Law means the return of the O'Grady's Tap and Grill Monday night wrestling parties. So let's give a big round of applause for that. Because this Monday night, everybody, for all of you, do you have the address off the top of your head?
Not off by heart.
It's at the corner of Church and...
Church and Wellesley.
Don't get any ideas there, everybody.
No.
It is at the corner of Church and Wellesley. There's a lot of lesbians that do hang out, and they're very friendly. So
we've seen it. It's we've had some entertaining time with those lesbians.
Exactly. So
HLA.
This Monday night, for all of you in the Toronto area, we are at the corner as Radar looks up the address of the O'Grady's Tap and Grill. And let's go back in time, guys, and talk about
if you will.
Some of the golden days of the O'Grady's parties and why anyone out there should care. Because
there's just like...
For me, those days were just some of the greatest days of my life. Because I remember when I first moved to Toronto and I kind of didn't know anything about this genre of wrestling radio. And I remember listening to live audio wrestling with Jeff Merrick and our savior, Dan the Mouth Lavransky. And we eventually, ended up down there having beers and not you, but me and joints and stuff like that. And became quite friendly with a lot of the guys there in that whole circle of live audio wrestling, which is now, let's face it, a watered down version of what it once was.
Big time.
That's been going downhill for years now, right?
Oh,
unfortunately.
Right, of course. And I mean, I remember the days when Jason Agnew was just this nerd in glasses hanging out at the back who didn't talk to anybody. And I remember when John Pollock was this fucking little kid that sat beside me whose voice hadn't even changed yet. And I mean, you think his acne's bad now. I mean, this guy before, goddamn.
Looked like a pizza.
Oh, fucking meat lovers. The motherfucker was just bubbling at the seams.
Guys, I have some Glenn, producer Glenn has helped me. We got the address. It's
okay.
518 Church Street, Toronto, Ontario.
518 Church Street, Toronto, Ontario. The return of the O'Grady's parties for all of you. And we will watch Raw on the big screen. The best chicken wings in town. Cheap beer. Waitresses with big hooters. And, you know, we're not your brother, but we will treat you like family.
Yeah.
At the new O'Grady's parties, brought to you by Luke Force and the good people at Breaking the Law. Now, I'm going to tell you guys a story, okay? Because I think I've told a few people this, but I don't think I've told any of you guys this. One of my early memories... Well, first of all, I bonded with Jeff Merrick about, of all things, Mr. Bungle. Jeff Merrick, obviously a Mr. Bungle fan. I did not know that. So that's very cool. Also bonded with Dan the Mouth Lavransky over our fondness for Chiba. Me and Dan really did kill a lot of brain cells out there in the back parking lot. And also with our good buddy Bill Scully. And I think you have a story about him later. But before we tell that one, I want to tell you why O'Grady's is special to me. Because it was around 2000. I don't want to date myself because I really, you know, I started going there 2001. And the years just kind of are all blending together. But there was a time, I think around 2003, 2004. And I'm sitting there. And again, I don't fancy myself an attractive man. Or I don't fancy myself the guy that all the girls in the room are looking at. But I'm telling you right now, God is my witness. This girl was watching me like a hawk. And she was kind of like, her face was kind of butter, but kind of all right. Like, she was hot, but not like fresh face hot. Kind of like, you know, like been there, done that hot. And her body was like a powerlifter's body. She was just like really ripped and shit. And her breasts were big, but they weren't like humongous. And this girl's watching me. And clearly there's a bunch of workers in there because there's a bunch of guys that are clearly gassed to the fucking gills. And they're on this side of the room, and there's a girl with them who probably is gassed as well. And she's watching me like a hawk, making the eyes at me. Every time I look at her, she's smiling at me. And I eventually was like, what the fuck, who's that? And then eventually one of the guys told me that that was Angel Williams, who was like a local worker. And I swear to God, guys, 2 years later, she's fucking in the beautiful people on TNA Wrestling. And they're doing the whole slutty fucking thing, entrance, rubbing your junk on the top rope. By the way, do you think they disinfect that rope every time for them? Because, like, that's pure yeast infection potential right there.
Or they sell it on eBay. Who knows?
But anyway, so she was with the other bitch that likes to grind her junk on the top rope. Or middle rope, whatever.
Yeah, there's like anything wrong with
junk
that.
On the top rope, you know. That would get me watching wrestling again.
Well, you always used to sneak into the ring, like, in between matches at indie events and rub your junk on the middle rope.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, someone had to.
It's a sensation that is just unparalleled.
There's something I don't want to picture it.
But anyway, guys, swear to God, Angelina Love wanted my stuff that night. I was in a relationship. I didn't go for it. And now I'm kicking myself. So.
Nah, shoulda, woulda, coulda, right?
Yeah, exactly.
At least you got the story, man. At least you got the story.
Oh, I got the story. And again, I remember she like got up and went to the washroom and she did the old look over the shoulder. I remember in O'Grady's, like, the washroom was like in the basement.
The dungeon?
Total stink hole. Anybody that fucks down there is just a greasy bastard. But anyway, the toilets were never clean. Like, the urinals were just rank.
You just feel like you're going
to
get
shit. But anyway, she didn't care because she's on her way to the toilet, on her way to the stairwell, and she looks back over her shoulder at me, smiles. I'm like, am I supposed to follow this bitch into the fucking dungeon?
And the answer is yes.
Fuck her in the shit pile? Like, what am I supposed to do here? But anyway, I decided to play cool.
Treat her like Stu treated Brett, right?
Oh, yeah. Treat her like the way that Brett treated Owen. Anyway,
Too soon.
Hello. Too soon, man. Too soon.
Too soon.
Anyways, you guys see any good indie events lately? Because I did, and I'll tell you my story, but...
For me, the last indie event I went with was with Glenn to go see Fight Brand.
Okay.
Over at the Transact Club at Brunswick Avenue.
Any good?
Oh, it was amazing.
Really? Who was working that?
Oh, the main event for the one that I remember really well was Michael Elgin versus Mike Rollins.
Really?
Yeah, and
any relation to Henry Rollins?
Or Jimmy Rollins?
No, just a psycho guy who happened to be named Rollins.
Oh, okay, cool.
But it's just a beautiful thing where you see Michael pick up Rollins from the ground, lift him up into a vertical suplex.
Right.
And then... drops them down into a powerbomb. It was it was amazing. It was a phenomenal strength. Really.
Justin, any indie events lately you've got to do?
No.
Tickling
actually,
your fancy?
You know, I've kind of gotten sour on the whole local scene
right.
for Ontario for indie wrestling.
Oh, God.
Wow, really? Just, you got sour?
Yeah.
You go to every event?
No, he has stopped for so long now.
What has happened to you?
Due to, you know, half laziness, half I'm sick of seeing Michael Elgin wrestle.
Okay, on the Michael Elgin tip. On the Michael Elgin tip. Okay, first of all, he's a nice guy.
Yeah,
second of all,
I'm sure he's a nice guy.
He is a very nice guy.
Just thought, you know, but anyway, I went to an indie. The only thing I've been to, anything. I haven't gone to wrestling, period, in fucking years. And this is my first time going to any wrestling, just by choice. They just haven't, you know, money's tight. You got to fucking make sure you got everything covered before you go to see wrestling these days.
Not to mention it being Christmas as well.
Yeah, and even like the Raw tapings, the SmackDown tapings, they always water them down when they come to Canada anyway. So who even cares? But anyway, so I went to an indie event, out of all places, a fucking fair in a small, my hometown, okay? Port Hope, Ontario. I went to the fall fair. They had wrestling. And legit, it wasn't in a building. It was literally in the middle of the fair. And they're like, it was ridiculous, man. These guys were so bad. And they're like, literally like, looked like he got leotards from fucking Walmart. And got his mom to stitch his name on the side. And there's fucking stitches hanging. And he's about 100 and maybe 25 pounds. No tan, no muscles, no anything. So, and he's out there, and he's supposed to be their world champion.
Oh, God.
Okay?
Oh,
wow. And the belt is three times the size that he is.
The world champion of Fort Hope.
He has no charisma.
Who has no hope at all.
Cherry Bomb was there. Getting to see her in the middle of the day was kind of interesting. Because, you know, you get to see her under the daylight. And so, I just want to say, if you can do anything to get her on the show, I will blow you.
No pun intended.
Please don't.
But I'm telling you.
Really?
There's very few things that would get me to go down on you. That's one of them.
Well, Cherry Bomb is hot. Let's be honest.
Which is why he offered to blow you to get on the show.
Yes, With that said, I approached her for an interview after, and she was like, total diva, brushing me off. I'm just like, really, bitch?
She is kind of a standoffish girl. Great in the ring, but standoffish by far outside.
Yeah. So here I am putting her over and burying her at the same time. But whatever, I mean,
we'll do whatever the fuck we like on
this
show,
this though. I'll say this though. She was one of the better workers, and I know she's had a lot of experience now, and she's sort of gone around and done her thing. And everybody check her out. Cherry Bomb fan page. I don't know. You can join me and Dever on there.
But also, she's going to be in a movie as well for next year for Beatdown, I believe.
Yeah. So she was by far one of the more polished people. By far, though, the star of the show. Well, two stars. Number one, if you're talking about an actual worker in the ring, was, what was Cody Rhodes' old partner in the indies before he got, in like OVW?
Oh, jeez.
Sean
Spears?
Sean Spears, thank you. Thank you, Radar. Sean Spears was there, and he came out, and he's all tanned, and he's like five times the size of everybody else. Like, he looked like a wrestler, and he had pure charisma, and old school work, like just like heel, like not a lot of bumps or anything, just a lot of crowd shit. Yeah. But the number two star of the night, you know how the old, you know, you read the television taping results and it says like, this guy's the most over, this guy's second most over, whatever. Yeah. The second most over person in this entire fucking show in the Port Hope Fall Fair was a 5-year-old kid who literally probably weighed about 100 pounds. Like, really? This kid was a little butterball, okay? And he just kind of like waddled around and shit. And what? He bought into this shit 100%, okay? But he didn't. He was just like happy-go-lucky until Sean Spears came out. And for some reason, like, he was playing the heel, right? For some reason, this guy just got under his skin, and he just got so mad. He was like a snarling beast. And there was no railing or anything separating the rest, like the people from the ring. So he was literally outside of slamming on the mat, and like yelling at Sean Spears.
Did he get in the ring?
No, but he's on the apron, like, doing the manager shit, right? And he's running around pumping the crowd up. He's this little fucking like butterball, and then. Sean Spears is drinking a glass of, or a bottle of water throughout the match, and he takes the water bottle and through the ropes he fucking sprays like just whole bottle right on the kid's leg.
Oh yeah,
right in his ear. And the kid and the whole crowd's like, oh shit. And the kid just sits there like he looks at his dad like he's gonna cry, and then he just starts snarling like the Ultimate Warrior. He's like, just fucking ready to go, and he's like, yeah, you're a loser. And he was like, swear to God, okay, Sean Spears did the job to whoever the local jobber was.
The guy who was the hunter.
Yeah, Sean Spears put over whoever the nerd was, right?
The Port Hope.
Oh, paycheck, I swear to God. Yeah, I swear to God, this little butterball thought that it was like he played a part in him winning. He was celebrating. He was like, it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. They need to sign this kid. Straight up. Because he was amazing.
WWE needs to sign Butterbean Jr.
Yes.
To replace Hornswoggle.
He's got more charisma than any of the people on this show. I swear to fucking God, man. So... Anyways, Dev, what are some of your memories of O'Grady's?
Oh, jeez, for me...
First of all, Glennie, what time? How much time we got?
Oh, we still got plenty of time right now.
Okay, we got like what, 10 minutes or so?
Oh, geez, for me, oh, great. I just remember like being invited by Glenn and just walking in this place, and it's just filled with people just watching Raw.
Yeah.
And I was shocked because, to be honest, I wouldn't really think there'd be that much people all gathered up to watch a wrestling show.
Yeah.
These days, but it was great. I mean,
and you'd look on the wall and it was all the different autographs, you know what I mean? Chris Benoit's
autograph is still there. That still blows me to.
That's still there.
That one is just like.
Nobody told him.
Yeah, nobody told him. Who would know that what happened?
And I heard.
Would be there.
Did you ever hear the story about Jim Neidhart or something like that?
No,
coming down there all pilled up. Were you there?
It was a pay per view.
Tell the
story.
It
was 2006. No, 2005.
It was. He came with Hacksaw or something.
No, he came with Coco.
Coco, really?
It was Coco Beware.
WWE Hall of Famer Coco Beware.
Yeah.
And Jim Neville Neidhart. And they were there, along with Rocky Johnson.
Yeah.
Who, of course,
nice.
Is the some Rock. Wrestler's father. I don't know who.
Yeah. Some a guy that kind of had a bit of success, I think, wasn't he?
It's a kind of. Rocky Maivia or something
like
that.
Yeah.
He's some an dude. Actor now.
Yeah.
He was a Tooth Fairy recently.
Yeah, G.I. Joe, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, they were there. And
what was the movie where he played the white guy or whatever?
Oh, Gridiron Gang.
There you go. That movie sucked, Dick.
Yeah, but he was a black guy playing a white guy. I don't know if that was allowed in Hollywood these days.
That's acting for you, man.
Somebody objected to that.
Oh, one of the guys who just recently passed away, God bless his soul, Ron.
Oh, Ron.
Ron. Good old Ron.
You remember him, Pollock? You remember Ron?
You remember Ron Pollock?
He's the man whose life you destroyed when you called him a racist, Pollock. You remember him?
I didn't even know he had $2,000 phone bill calling his
coach. The guy racks up $2,000 calling the law.
No, every time I saw him, he just had this, like, fucking mile-long phone bill. Fucking, look at this, I'm calling this stupid show, I'm not winning anything.
In his defense, it used to be something worth calling in for.
No, we're talking about
Egg News game shows?
Egg News game shows.
What a word, game shows he like had on fucking TV.
Now, does he owe it to the, would he owe it to them? Or who does he owe it to? The phone company?
Yeah, the phone company. Okay.
Right, now, since he died, he doesn't have to pay shit now.
No. Yeah.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks for, you know, being kind and caring and all that.
Yeah.
Go back to your producer role.
But anyway, Ron was a cool dude. Another O'Grady's regular.
Yep.
Yes, with his cane. Didn't know what movie Charles Bronson starred in.
No. Who doesn't know that?
Remember, Justin? What movie does Charles Bronson star in?
Death Wish.
One. Oh, wait, Death Wish 2, Death Wish 3, Death Wish 4.
Really?
He's like, Wyatt, I'll hit you with my cane.
Yeah, right.
Now, I think maybe just before we take off, we got a little bit of time left. Why don't we talk a little bit? Sean just fucking was just on and on and on and on about the WWE, blah, 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 TLC. Why don't we talk about TLC, RIP, Left Eye, and why don't we just get into the pay-per-view? I thought Raw, first of all, was just complete shit this week.
It was terrible. The only thing that was good is probably seeing Kane's new mask. That's it.
Okay. So Kane returned. There's been a lot of excitement about that.
Road Dogg makes an appearance. Yeah.
He's Lita.
And Lita. Lita.
She looked fantastic.
She looked great.
She wore normal clothes. When was the last time you saw her in normal clothes?
Oh, jeez. Forever, man. Forever.
She looked good.
Out on bail.
Out on bail. Yep.
Anyways, but no, I just thought the show was just she's mostly really just horrible skits. There was one really good match, I thought, with Zack Ryder, Dolph Ziggler, all those guys.
Yeah, that was
Daniel
a good match of the night
Daniel
for that
Bryan
one.
And
yeah.
But nothing else
Cody
really stood out, really,
no.
In that whole Raw.
Going into the main event program with CM Punk defending against The Miz and Alberto Del Rio, what have you thought about the build so far?
It's been good. I thought to be honest, though, I think The Miz has probably had the best of the promos.
Right.
So far, I gotta say that.
So yeah, I mean, they're gonna. I mean, I don't want them to hotshot the title again. You know, play hot potato once again with the WWE title and give it to Miz, only giving what CM Punk a 1 month reign.
But they do seem to be.
It's changed 9 times. It's like Ferris Bueller, 9 times since. In 7 months, it's changed 9 times.
Well, I mean, the last guy to have it for
a
long time was The Miz.
WCW.
Is it just because the WWE doesn't know who to give it to? Like, do they not have, like, the flagship guy just to help take him up there?
Honestly,
anymore?
I have no
idea. Who knows?
Like, for instance, the plan was to put the title on Alberto Del Rio at WrestleMania last year.
Yeah.
But that changed.
That changed because Vince thought, well, maybe we push it off a little longer. It's going to get lost in the shuffle at Mania with The Rock and everything like that.
But now look at Alberto Del Rio when he had it. Didn't really go anywhere.
The thing is that they had the plan to put him on it on, and then they had the plan like about five or six other times where they didn't do it. They eventually do it at SummerSlam, and then okay, so he's cashed in the briefcase. He lost it within a month, didn't he, or 2 months?
No, a month because of work visa issues. He wasn't on TV for like 2 weeks.
That's true.
On TV for 2 weeks.
Anyways, he lost it to Cena.
Yeah.
And then Cena lost it back to him.
Yeah.
In a triple threat match. In the Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. That was awesome how Del Rio eliminated Cena by locking him out of the cage.
Yeah, and then putting on the pin.
Yeah, and then swallowing the key so he couldn't get back in.
Did he really swallow it?
I thought he threw away.
Yeah. No, he threw away the keys, man.
It would have been funnier if he swallowed the keys.
Yeah, man.
That's why you got to give Mark Henry credit.
And then
Mark
his heart Henry's stops, champion. And then they just cover him 1-2
Mark
three.
Henry's been champion for now 3 months. Who would have thought that?
That's been awesome, though.
No, it has been.
Yeah.
It's been great, but I am dreading the TLC match with him and Big Show. That's not going to be a good match, guys.
Oh, fuck.
We all know. Are you
expecting Flair Steamboat with these two?
No,
like,
I'm not expecting Flair
Steamboat. Combined, they're like Henry's weight.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, they can do pretty impressive stuff when they aren't scared.
How about that flying elbow from Survivor Series?
Oh, come on. Big Show was terrified.
Yeah, he was terrified.
See, I disagree. I think that he worked that whole thing.
You think he worked?
I absolutely did. He was just sucking wind,
so he couldn't get up there.
Yeah.
I've watched this a couple times now, and this is my conclusion. You can disagree with it all day long, but the way I see it, if you watch him, he gets up there, and he can tell that the crowd is buzzing. He can tell that the crowd is saying, he's not going to be able to do this. He can tell that the crowd's doubting him, but then once it's time to do it, if you watch, he just puts his foot up, and he fucking flies. He was completely graceful.
No, I gotta disagree. My look at it, man, was like, he was going like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, don't lose the footing.
Oh, I definitely think he was concerned with the footing, but once he got up and almost there, he still waited a good, like, 10 seconds or whatever.
I mean, it wasn't Macho Man good,
no,
I guess.
No,
it was better than CM Punk's elbow.
That's true.
That's saying something.
It wasn't Shawn Michaels either. Shawn Michaels
had the greatest elbow ever.
Yeah, I mean, next to him, Macho Man had the best one, I gotta say.
Honestly.
You think Shawn Michaels had the best one?
Shawn Michaels' elbow was classic.
I don't know. I gotta go with Macho Man and then Shawn Michaels for the next one.
Oh, you're just saying that because you're an HBK Mark.
Easy there, Hardy Mark. I say it because of the form. You know what I mean? It's like if you're watching a move and sort of holding up the scorecard. If you watch Savage's form, it was always the same. I mean, before the knee injuries. I'm not talking about Macho later on with the full body costume.
I'm talking about
Savage in his prime, you know, like say Mania 2 until about, or even before that. Best Savage stuff is him, like, in his dad's promotion and him with Lawler in AWA.
Oh, that was awesome stuff.
Like, that stuff's wicked. And I mean, Savage was just like a cat. But if you watch his elbow during that time, it was always the same. It was like he was perfect form every single time, and he always hit him in the exact spot.
You knew how to nail it. It's like watching Rob Van Dam even doing Frog Splash.
Yep. And even if the guy was too far out and he'd be like, oh shit, he'd still nail it just the same. So not to take anything away from HBK's elbow, obviously.
But, and the Big Show.
Just in my opinion, I thought Savage was the best.
But the Big
Show.
So
we will talk about Randy Savage too next week during the Christmas show.
Yes, as one of the many big stories
of 2011. That had to be one of the biggest ones.
It was.
And
I came out of the field.
I got to ask you guys.
Okay.
TLC match.
Yeah.
Which one do you think will be the match of the night?
Oh, that's going to be Dolph Ziggler versus Zack Ryder.
I agree with that one.
Because, in my opinion, Dolph Ziggler is probably the most improved wrestler
in the last year.
He's underrated.
Oh, he's dropping the U.S. title because he's ready for main title push.
I think so now, yeah. I didn't think so before when they kind of started to sort of hint that.
Like, what?
Plus, remember when he won the title briefly there from Edge?
And Vicky got fired and they got moved to Raw.
But, like, no, Dolph Ziggler, absolutely, 100%. That guy is on fire right now.
Yeah, honestly, every time you've ever seen him in SmackDown, Raw, he's always giving 110%. It's definitely a great performance on his part.
I mean, also, Zack Ryder's no slouch either. I mean,
look what Zack Ryder's done
over this past year.
Yeah, he's Zack Ryder, you know, from Edge's lackey.
That's been the biggest story since the show has been off the air.
Big star.
Absolutely, Zack Ryder. The whole thing that started with him being buried because he was going out of the box and doing the whole YouTube video show and all that stuff. And
then he just
they made them pay attention to him.
It's true, and it goes to show that a grassroots following that can sort of groundswell is always
can
the way
make
to go.
Difference.
They will push you once they realize.
In all opinion, that's always been Vince's philosophy because he did that with JBL, right? JBL does not do that thing in Germany. He's not world champion.
Yeah, no, it's
for
true.
A year.
It's true, absolutely. And Matt Hardy, you think of Matt Hardy, that whole thing that brought him back.
Yes.
That was 100% just a groundswell of grassroots support.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, Matt Hardy, I mean, god damn it.
And now look at Matt Hardy.
Yeah, yeah.
From the penthouse to the fucking doghouse, son.
From the penthouse?
The outhouse.
The mental
house. The crack house.
The rehab. Well, soon
his the meth grave. House.
What's that? Soon gonna, his grave.
You think that will be the big story of 2012? That Matt Hardy, you're immortal?
I hope not, man.
Thank you.
But you're well, probably
hey, everybody
right.
thought it was going to be Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It could be either or for this right now, man.
I think Dr. Judas should rehab with the Hardys.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be sweet.
Just have a wrestler.
No, they'll be a tag team and Dr. Drew will be their manager.
No, could you imagine? Could you imagine an episode of Celebrity Rehab with both Hardys?
Oh, jeez.
And China?
And China?
Sean Walton returns.
With Scott Hall.
Oh come
the main
on.
Main event.
If only
no,
the
hey, really? Scott Hall is ratings.
Hey, you're right.
Yeah.
If only the WWE would get him for that. That Legends house.
Yeah.
Because if they were had enough brains and just be like, whatever, we don't care if it looks like trash.
No, no, no. Yeah. That's where the wrestling celebrity show is going to be on WWE Network.
No, but do you think that they would be willing to bring back Scott Hall for that? Like they're going to bring the Sheik. I would assume the Sheik is going to be in it.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming the Sheik, but it'll be by Scott Hall. The way he is.
No, you see, because you can't trust Scott Hall.
No,
that's
not at all.
Sad
well,
part.
But wouldn't that be a better TV if you couldn't trust?
Oh, it would make.
See, I want to know if
it's like an adult show. It would be alright.
Exactly. Yeah. You're right.
But you would literally have to follow Scott Hall to get the show, because Scott Hall won't come to the show, pretty much.
That's fine. Just straight to his bed.
Just give him mic.
Just
and
have
go.
A bed cam. Seriously, just have a bed cam. It would be the highest rated show on the network. I'm not even kidding.
You hear a bunch of
yo. Yeah, just like farting. And
I'm the
fucking
bad
shit,
guy.
That's
hey,
over,
yo,
guy.
Survey time. Either choose A or B. The good guy, the, another one for the bad guy.
Then you have
hey, yo, I ate chili yesterday. Chico? And some Mexican.
That was horrible.
Wait, I played Mexican on TV once.
Once? Yeah, he played it once and he never stopped. You run into him at a Walmart.
Hey, yo, Chico.
It's like, dude, you're from fucking Florida. You're a hick. You used to have a handlebar mustache. Like, what's your problem, man? You're
he
not fucking
like,
Tony Montana. You know what I mean?
He once looked like Tom Selleck. Now he looks like Joan Rivers.
Oh, God. Oh. That's stiff, dude. That is stiff.
Poor Joan. Well, you did warn them about the Brian Pillman in me.
I did. And if you want to hear more of this type of behavior and just completely tasteless humor, I do encourage all of you to come down to the new O'Grady's Tap and Grill. Wrestling parties. What is that address again, Radar?
518 Church Street, Toronto, Ontario.
Okay, and bring some joints.
And actually, you know, before we go off the air, just to really entice the audience, what?
Really?
Why not? It was the best thing we did.
It's a family show, Glenn. It's a family show.
It's children are listening, man.
You will probably
Shut
have more
up.
Fun with if you bring some joints. It's
yeah,
probably
yes.
Because wrestling's really boring.
Rocky,
and that's
it is tolerable sometimes.
That's what you guys don't get over there, the non-smoking couch over there. You guys
no.
don't get that. Wrestling is so boring. If you could just let the marijuana into your soul and just give yourself to marijuana the way that me and Glenn have.
Or just say brother every
You would enjoy
word.
Wrestling
you
a lot
wrestling.
More. I really
brother.
Do.
Of
really
course,
do think
because
so. Don't
we're
you?
Outside now watching it.
Right. Exactly.
That's how bad it is.
And then you come in and it's just something real stupid, but at least you're high and you can just look at each other and be like, dude, yeah. That was dumb. And then whatever, just eat a bunch of chicken wings or me, I just eat Drinking. Like... That's the thing, for a vegetarian, if
for
you're a vegetarian
you just
out there...
You basically had your grilled cheese and french fries.
Exactly. If you're a vegetarian, I hope you're happy with pickles, because that's the only vegetable you'll be able to get.
Guess
I'm and I would
trying
also...
The kind of pickle you might get there might not be vegetarian.
So again, for all of this entertainment, come down to the new O'Grady's Tap and Grill Christmas party this Monday. We're going to watch Raw on the big screen. It's not a 3-hour this week, is it?
No,
no,
it's
just
9:15 normal time, right?
No slams.
So 9:15, come down to the address again.
518 Church Street, Toronto, Ontario.
518 Church Street, Toronto, Ontario. For the Breaking the Law and Luke Force Christmas party at O'Grady's. Bringing the tradition back. Thank God, because I have missed that place. And I've missed the big titty waitress. But before we go off the air, just to entice them and wet their whistle one last time, why don't you tell the story about Bill Scullion and Dan Lavransky. Dan Lavransky being the man that was, you know, the figurehead of those O'Grady's parties back in the day.
The speaker, pretty much.
Nowadays, Dan's on to bigger things and better things, and he's having to carry a lot of bags. Inch. And Somebody needs to tell the Scullion story because I haven't heard it, and you guys are all sitting there like, oh, maybe we shouldn't tell it. We're going to get heat with Scullion.
Well, no,
Scullion is in Parkdale.
Yeah.
So we're not in Parkdale. Might, okay? We don't need to worry. We're not in Parkdale. We're not dealing with that shit anymore. So you don't need to worry about running into Scullion cracked out on the streets of Parkdale. Why don't you go ahead, Ryan?
Well, pretty much.
Does anyone know the story?
Well, I mean, I think heard we were it on another radio show.
Okay, what radio show, by the way?
The O Show.
On our show, we actually say other
shows.
Yeah, I
know,
names,
right?
So.
The O Show.
The O Show with Donnie Abreu.
Donnie Abreu.
Six Degrees of Separation with the Law, exactly. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So it was a road story that Bill Scullion told.
Yeah.
And basically, the gist of the story is Bill Scullion and this rat, I guess, get together. Ring Rat. They go back to his apartment and Dan's there.
Scullion Rat? No, she must have been. I bet she was like 90 pounds soaking wet. Go ahead.
So I guess they get them in the bathroom, right?
Okay.
And Bill and the rat are getting it on.
Okay.
And then Dan joins in.
You're kidding me.
I don't want to put that. If you know what Bill Scully and Dan look like, I'm sorry I put that image in your head, folks.
They ran a train on this little rat?
They ran a train.
Dan and Bill. Could you imagine an uglier train? The caboose or the fucking front? Which one do you want? What's the front of a train called?
The front. I don't know.
Diesel.
The
diesel.
Front. Front. Wow. This rat must have been hard to the core.
Yeah.
Okay?
And from what I heard, I don't know, this is obviously Dan hearsay farted. And rumors.
Okay, go ahead.
But I guess Dan maybe touched Bill during the act.
No!
Uh-oh.
No! Oh, shit.
And then Bill's You're obviously right. like, the fuck are you doing?
Oh no, he got heat with Bill.
But Bill, I thought you were gay.
Oh! So Dan, are you trying to leave me on a big cliffhanger here that Dan's... Never mind. I don't even want to entertain
this is,
that idea.
You know, I've heard that. I heard this story long.
Or is he just
a while ago? I might.
He
not
does wear
telling,
awfully short shorts.
I might not be telling the story completely.
How would you know, Luke?
100% the way Bill told it.
True.
But yeah.
So that's the story.
That's the story.
Wow. That's the story. We're not necessarily saying it's true, everybody. It's no, just a
I
story.
I might even be telling it half wrong. I don't know. Like I said, it was a long time
it's like
ago.
Like the boogeyman or the tooth fairy. You know, it's not necessarily true, but it is a story out there. It's like the Bible. I'm just joking.
It's a Bible.
I actually like the Bible.
You put Lebransky in the same book as a Bible?
Put a Bible by his head when I kill him. But anyway, let's end this show on that note. Thank you so much for sitting through the undercard again. And I can't promise that there won't be more of that. But again, what would a main event be without an undercard, right? Unfortunately, we're on first next time. It's part of the contract.
Hey, I've seen some world title matches go on first.
Right.
This is true.
Yeah.
True.
Hey, Saturday's main event. Remember back in the day, Saturday's main event, they do it opposite.
They
start
Hogan match
Hogan,
first.
Yeah,
first,
Hogan yeah. Bundy first, and then it would be like Savage Jake or whatever. And then it would be like, and the last match would be like Coco Beware and Nikolai Volkov. And Nikolai would just crush Coco, and it's like, good night, everybody! So that's kind of like what our show will be like next week for the Christmas episode on Wednesday. Again, come down to O'Grady's Tap and Grill. That address, one last time, Radar.
518 Church Street, Toronto, Ontario.
And we will be celebrating the Christmas season and watching some wrestling, some of the cheapest chicken wings in town. I think it was the best chicken wings. And cheap beer, cheap whores. We will talk to you then.
Cheap whores are in Parkdale.
From myself, the original host of Wrestling Audio Revolution and Breaking the Law, we would like to say peace! Love and Wrestling Audio Revolution.